Good morning, Evergreen family. Before I bring you into the Word, I just want to thank our Family Promise volunteers for their service this past week. We've had a wonderful time caring for one family, and it's been wonderful for us to share our life, our hospitality with them. To add with what Pastor Jason shared earlier, I know all of us are feeling many points of pain and worry, anxiousness, fear, concern. And as he shared from Philippians 4, I believe this is an opportunity for all of us going forward to practice gratitude. I think gratitude is an important remedy that you and I can be doing each day to prepare ourselves for what God might be doing. May I encourage you first is to slow down before God. All of us, as you can tell, have plenty of time. Time to spend with God and with our family. I would also encourage you to remember who God is and what God continues to do. May our eyes continue to be open to see and observe what's around us. And finally, I would encourage you to name God's blessings and benefits to you. Let's do that each and every day. I think this season we've all become a linguistic expert of a new word, social distancing. It's a term applied to actions that are prescribed by public health officials to stop or slow down the rapid spread of an infectious disease. And we've seen that the recommendations have been for us to use proper hygiene, to wash our hands regularly, to reduce our exposure to others, and to create the kind of space that will not only protect ourselves, but those that we love. I know that as the schools have closed, there's both cheers and groans. I know that we've seen an explosion of online conferencing and activity. And I think maybe most shocking is that we have experienced a prescribed fast from public and sporting events. No NBA, no Masters Golf Tournament, no March Madness. Yet social distancing is not a new term. In fact, it's an ancient term. We see that in God's first question in the Bible, where are you? And we hear it even in the Lenten psalm that was read to us. Do not cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And in Cain's words to God, am I my brother's keeper? All of us are designed and wired for intimacy with God and each other. And yet we have become estranged from God, broken our relationship with the earth, and divided from others. So this morning, this term social distancing is an apt metaphor for our broken humanity. In coming weeks, we will be exploring other dimensions of our broken reality in our churches, in our families, and even in our own bodies and self. But our history books are filled with the narratives of human exploitation, oppression towards certain people groups, nation against nation conflicts, ethnic cleansing, violence against women, and discrimination of many forms, and many others that have been omitted, overlooked, or have not been known as well. We are all quite acquainted with broken humanity. 2 weeks ago, I went to Albuquerque, Texas, to join other pastors from the country to have an immersion experience of the borderland. That area of El Paso has a rich heritage, meshing the histories of the indigenous Aztec people, the Spanish conquistadors, and the emergent United States. And El Paso has always been a place of prosperity and harmony. And yet today, El Paso is the hot spot of the immigration issue. So we met with religious leaders, community organizers, legal advocates, and residents. We visited a Catholic shelter that has housed migrants and refugees for the past 40 years. We heard of the angst of the reuniting of families who live and work on both sides of the border. We gathered at the fence on the American side of the Rio Grande River. We as pastors prayed, worshiped, listened to the scripture, and asked for God's grace upon that land. And collectively, we splashed water upon the fence as our means of praying that this would happen. I had a chance later that week to go to Walmart, where people of Hispanic descent were targeted, and 22 were killed, and many others were seriously injured. I was deeply moved. Most of us have immigration stories. I'm one generation removed. My grandparents and parents had the same aspirations and desires of the people who press on our borders today for freedom and for opportunity. And I shared with my pastoral colleagues that I felt a great disruption in my spirit during that time. It was difficult for me to process what I was seeing and hearing and experiencing, but I knew that I was accountable for this time. In El Paso, God reminded me of my immigration story and the privilege and opportunities and status my family possessed and received, of my need to not forget that which I've been given and that I've become stewards of. So it was a moment for me to personally lament. I lamented how our country has become combative on how we view the stranger at the border. I lamented the despair and anguish of families who are separated. Children not knowing where their parents are, parents agonizing for their children. I lamented the ease by which people made in the image of God were seen as the other. I lamented the honest appeal for relief and justice, only to be delayed, denied, or deported. I lamented that my own heart did not break for those who cry for mercy. I lamented, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. The scriptures speak much of the faith responsibly toward the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 and 19 says this, He, God, defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you should also love the alien, for you are alien in the land of Egypt. Here Moses was speaking to his people, reminding them while they were still in the Sinai area, that God had delivered them, had seen their plight, had heard their cry for mercy and justice, and to release them. But now they will share the responsibility to care in the same way for those around them. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality to the stranger. So like Israel, we, the church, have been given the opportunity to see with our eyes, to feel with our hearts, and to determine with our will and with our lives what we will do. Jesus affirmed the ironic role of the Samaritan to the one who was in need. He reminded us that as we do to and for those around us, we do that to and for Jesus. In the past several months, several members of our church have been visiting those who are being held at the Adelanto Detention Center that is near Victorville. We may be surprised to realize that those in the detention center are not merely those who are from Central America, but there are those there in Adelanto who are from China. There's a group of Uyghur minority people that are there, as well as from Africa. In particular, we have found that there are those who have come from Cameroon. And there are people from our church that have, as they've come, gone there to visit, have gone to know and befriend several women who are originally from Cameroon. Because their legal status is still pending, I cannot say a lot about their personal information, but let me describe to you their current situation. These two women, very young women, probably in their 20s, were in the East-speaking area of Cameroon. And there were others from the majority French-speaking Cameroon that decided to go into their villages and towns because that is where the resources and opportunities were. They were physically beaten, threatened with violence and death. So these two women, who didn't know each other from different villages, eventually made their way to Central America. A miracle story in itself. And then by themselves, went from Central America to the San Diego-Tijuana border. Both of them have been held at Adelanto for probably 8 or 9 months. And in the last couple months, members of our church have met them, listened to their stories of courage and of faith, provided support and encouragement, and even now have opportunity to be advocates on their behalf. We're grateful that one of the women had her proceeding recently and was released from deportation, has been reunited with her family. The other is having her hearing very soon and is hoping to be reunited with family as well. But in both cases, we realize that the end is not known. And yet our members have had the opportunity to care and love them and support them in this journey. So what can we do? What can we do as the Evergreen family? How can we, as we cry out with our lament of having mercy upon us and those around us, how might God be moving and leading us to respond as a community? Beginning today, we are giving you all the opportunity to participate and contribute in a love offering that we are calling Justice for Migrants. This is going to be an opportunity for us to share our resources for both the tangible, immediate, and future needs, whether of legal costs or logistical expenses, that can be our opportunity to care for the strangers around us, for the foreigner and the aliens at the border. This is totally voluntary. Each of us, as God is moving in our hearts during this Lenten season, is invited to consider how we might see our neighbors and love our neighbors as ourselves. If you want to know more of the journey of some of the migrants from Cameroon, there is the link to YouTube that you can also use. This, I believe, during the Lenten series is a wonderful opportunity for us to come face to face and consider what it means for us as the church to be a part of God's agent in this broken humanity. Social distancing is not a health crisis, but it's really a spiritual crisis. All of us know that we have been separate from God, that we have experienced the groans and agony of the earth, and we're feeling the distance, the division, the hostility that's been created between people and people. Would you join me as we continue in this season to lament? Would you join me in prayer? God, in this virtual space, we gather together around your throne, and we ask, God, for your mercy and for your grace upon us. But we also, God, ask for mercy and grace upon those that we do not know, and yet may be strangers, foreigners, and aliens. Lord, you have invited us to love and treat the aliens as we love and treat you. God, guide us with humility. Guide us with courage. Grant us the capacity and the heart to follow your will. Hear our prayers, O God. Thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.